Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining me again as we're getting close to wrapping up this week on our dive into a little bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we've had such a convicting week together hearing Paul talk about the cross. And I think it's such a beautiful insight into Paul's ministry where we began. He's saying, I'm preaching Christ and Christ crucified. You know, there's another place where he says, in Acts, we actually just had it in the readings recently, where he says, I am determined to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. He says, when I come to you in ministry, when I visit you, I've determined to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. It's again and again, we see for Paul, the revelation of the cross. How when Christ came to him and he had his conversion, what was so central to him, Paul was learned in everything. He was the best rabbi. He was the top. He memorized every verse. He knew everything. He could argue with the best of the best. Everybody came to him. And he says, in all of that, I have no reason to boast. Because what do I boast in? I boast in the cross of Christ. And it's that conviction to saying, in our homes, in our life, what would our families look like if we say, I am determined to show up in my family and know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified? What would that produce in us? What does meditating on Christ and Christ crucified produce in us? When I do it, it produces humility. It produces meekness. It produces a submission to Christ. It produces thinking better of people. It produces putting others first. It produces all of these different things that on my own, it's super hard for me to produce. I can't produce on my own. What if we showed up to our work saying, I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified? Not just Christ in this situation, but Christ crucified. And it's so convicting. And this is what Paul focuses on, friends. This is the heart of his ministry. And so we've just been talking about that. We've been talking about what is the foolishness of the cross in comparison to the wisdom of the world. Because so often it's hard to distinguish between the wisdom of the world and like what we want. Like we're like, oh yeah, like we have to go in the way of the world. It's just how many times have we said just like that's the way the world works? And then we end up functioning in a worldly system. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean like we don't have to work. We don't have to do all these different things. We do. You know, we can't just like live on a commune. But to say, how am I entering into the world with God's standard of wisdom? What am I valuing as wise? And what am I valuing as foolish? I think we see this so often, and we're going to talk about this today, but we see this so often. We recently had Our Lady of Fatima feast day, and we see this in the way that Mary chooses people to appear to. You know, she appears to Juan Diego, who's a nobody. She appears to the children at Fatima, who are children. You know, Bernadette, who's poor. And Mary is exemplifying God saying, this is what matters in the kingdom. And if we pay attention, God will help us change what we value. Because I want to value the things in God's kingdom. Like even today, I was just getting a coffee and I was walking outside and I was like, oh, look at that beautiful. I was like, I'd love to have like that gorgeous Bronco, you know, and it's not bad to want that. But it's just like, it's just funny, like how easily we can get influenced in those kinds of things. Like it's great to have a beautiful Bronco. It's not, there's literally nothing sinful about it. Like if someone can have that, that's great. But just like the things for me that are important, I can get them mixed up so easily. And so I, just like each and every one of us, I need God's grace to help me value the cross. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive into God's word and see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Holy Spirit, today, not in like a big way, not in a large like whole world way, but in our individual lives, show us what God values. Show us who God values. Show us how he values them. Show us the lost and the broken and the lonely. Show us the places that God values, especially close to his heart in ourselves. Give us new eyes, Holy Spirit, to see what God desires and to see what God values. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to start at verse 20 and I'm going to go through verse 31. So we're going to start a little later. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of our God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. That's such a powerful way to end the chapter, and we're definitely going to get to that part tomorrow, but we want to pick up where we left off. That it pleased God through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. We got to this a little bit before of saying the Jews, think about this, the Jews, they're expecting a military leader, even the disciples. Like Peter all the way to the end, Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to have to go die. And Peter's like, when are we overthrowing the Roman Empire? And that's like right before Passover. You know, it's not that far away from Jesus' death. And so Jesus is about to say, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to go and I'm laying my life down in this way. And Peter's like rallying the troops and he's like, all right, when are we overthrowing the Romans? I've seen you do all these things. What are we doing? So they had this expectation of power. It says at the beginning, what we said so often this week already is that the title of this section in scripture is Jesus Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. And so there's a way that even the Jews, they're saying, okay, the Messiah is the power of God. We want to see the power of God come. When is he going to crush Caesar? He's like, they're like, let's go. And then Jesus is like, okay, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. And they're like, what do you mean? We thought we were going to overthrow the Roman Empire. Jesus is exemplifying power in a way that is totally opposite of how the Jews thought. They were expecting a military king. They were expecting a king that was like David in a particular way. And so Jesus, he's saying, this is what power is. This is what power is. And part of the humility of conversion is receiving it. So the Jews demand signs. They said, we want to see a militaristic leader. The Greeks seek wisdom. They had all of these philosophers that would debate and they were impressive and they were wise and they were smart. And here comes Jesus, a carpenter that wasn't even a learned rabbi. He was a nobody. He grew up in Nazareth. And people are like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And here he comes down the block with his ragtag group of fishermen that he calls. He's got a tax collector. He's got fishermen. He's got men who have no education. No one was eloquent. No one was wise. And Jesus is saying, this is who I've chosen to show my power through. And I think sometimes in modern times, we see this, we're like, God, that person? But what about me? I'm more articulate. I'm better for the worship team. I'm better to be a small group leader. I'm better. I'm better. I'm better. And God's saying, I'm choosing. And yes, I've gifted people. And yes, I want people to use those things. This is why Paul is saying this to the church in Corinth. They were so gifted. Remember, Paul says, you can speak in tongues. You can raise people from the dead. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. You're like a clanging cymbal and a clanging gong. You are nothing without love. So he's speaking here and he's saying those things that you think make you big in the spirit. Yes, God's gifted you. Yes, he loves that you use them. But the thing that makes him work through you is humility and service and servant leadership and meekness and following in the footsteps of Christ. This is what so confronted the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They knew every iota of the law. They were important. They were smart. They were holy. They did the sacrifices. They sat at table and they're looking at Jesus in a way. And there's kind of, you can feel the bitterness in them of this is who you chose. They're fishermen. They don't even follow the law. And I think there's a way that they wanted to rise up. They wanted to be chosen. They wanted to be seen as big. They wanted to be seen as the ones who were powerful. And Jesus is saying, I choose what is weak. And this can be so encouraging for us. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, everyone is called Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God, the foolishness that God shows is wiser than man. I love, there's a verse that I love in Isaiah, and a worship leader that I love made it into a song, and it's like, your thoughts are higher than mine. Your love is stronger than mine. This is no sacrifice. Here's my life because you know what's better for me. Your thoughts are higher than man. He can know the mind of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's not weak. But what he shows us in the cross looks weak to man. It looks weak to those of us who are trying to do it on our own. It looks weak to those of us who say power is domination. Power is getting what's yours. Power is grasping at what belongs to you. This is what power is. And God's saying, he's not saying I'm weak. He's actually showing us what true power is. It says, consider your call, brethren. Which of us had a call from Christ in our place of strength? Not me. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. Again, we see this in disciples. Jesus is saying, I'm choosing on purpose a ragtag team. He's not like putting a thing out there on LinkedIn and being like, most impressive people apply. You don't have to be impressive to be used by God. Again, this is why we see Mary choosing the weak ones to appear to, because there's a humility of receiving the way of God. Because friends, when we're puffed up with pride, when we're puffed up with ego, when we're puffed up with doing things our own way, when we're puffed up in this way, we can't see the way of God. And so I want to invite you to just reflect today on that place that God called you. Friends, God is not calling you to be impressive. Open up the weakness of your heart today and say, God, is this the place you're calling me? Is this the place where you want your glory to shine through? Ask him to show you your weakness so that we can depend on him and so that we can know that it's not our impressiveness that makes us called. He equips us in our weakness. Join us again tomorrow as we wrap up this week.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.